feeling tired all the time and longing for more energy? Would you love to exchange a couple of spare tires for a couple of six-packs? Well, you need to log on to the Nico Health and Fitness Show every Tuesday, 12 till 2 p.m. And you can find out how. Log on to www.playvibes.com and check out the Nico Health and Fitness Show. It can only make you stronger. Self-Love delivers both yoga and Pilates to all, whether on a one-to-one basis or in groups. Together, yoga and Pilates help you to de-stress, reduce aches and pains, increase focus and concentration, energy, and most importantly, relax. Visit www.selflovenonline.co.uk. Find out more about how you can incorporate both yoga and Pilates into your life. Take a breath. Welcome, Play Vibes. It's Nico, Nico Health and Fitness Show. Totally caught off the hoff. Would you call it off the hoff by that track? Because it just suddenly stopped. So, how are you? It's coming up to Christmas. It is a couple of days before Christmas. You're listening to Nico of the Nico Health and Fitness Show at Play Vibes, www.playvibes.com. And I'm hoping that you are preparing yourself for Christmas. Are you off? Taking time off? Or you still at work? Are you listening to me on your laptop or computer at work? Well, if you are, I've got lots of healthful tips that are going to help you today. And I'm hoping that you're going to stay logged on with me so that you don't lose any information, really. I'm going to be sharing with you about how you can, for the new year, change your eating habits so that you go into good eating lunch habits, for example. I'm going to be sharing also brain food. What foods do you need to to eat to aid your concentration. Also, last week I did a Christmas cake recipe for diabetics. And this week I'd like to do a Christmas cake recipe for those people who are vegetarian, who don't have dairy, who have different intolerances, so that you can also indulge in it. So don't go anywhere. Stay logged on here at playvibes.com, and I'll see you right after this.
Refugee camp, conspiracy theory, why? Yeah, why? You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Caught in the way that I stand. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
I want to.
Of the Nico Health and Fitness Show, and we're talking today about brain food. Brain food. Before we get there, the new year is coming thick and fast, and I think we should consider ways that we can avoid Christmas weight gain. I've got 10 ways to avoid Christmas weight gain. And here it comes. Right, number one, don't deprive yourself of seasonal food. That is my first one. Just things that, choose the things that you really, really like, and then say no to anything you're not so bothered about, because then that way you are selective on the foods that you're going to be a bit naughty about. If you think about your average turkey dinner, it's going to contain more calories than you need in a day. So if you go for the full whack, as in everything, the Brussels sprouts, the sauces, the cranberry sauces, the whole pork, lamb, etc., just limit your intake for the rest of the day. So really that's about selection, isn't it? It's almost like prioritizing your life. Just decide what you really want to indulge in and don't indulge so much on the others. The second way to avoid Christmas weight gain is to eat your normal portion size. That's one other way of doing it. The food's going to taste nicer, number one, than if you'd piled on your plate. And you won't need to undo your top belt or button of your trousers or skirt. I'd suggest you fill up on vegetables and some of the low-fat foods that you may well have instead of having lots and lots of stuffing and Yorkshire pudding. Decide to really enjoy your food. Enjoy every single bite. That's the thing, isn't it? It's about the quality of the food you're going to be eating over Christmas. Now, if you are going to be eating out, don't hang by the party buffet. You'll end up eating continuously as you talk and chat without even thinking about it. And then before you know it, you'll have consumed enough calories to qualify for a meal. Remember, it's a buffet. So instead, make sure you eat beforehand. Strongly recommend that. Or pick a few of your favorite items and then move away from the buffet. Then you can't see them. You can only eat what's on your plate. When it's gone, it's gone. Number four. Drink lots of water. You know that water is very, very filling. So having a glass of water in your hand is going to take your mind off food and it's going to help you feel healthy and hydrated over Christmas. You don't want to be waking up over the Christmas period every morning feeling really sluggish. You want to be waking up feeling vibrant and alert because remember, this is your time. This is not you having to get up to go to work. This is your time to relax and enjoy a bit of quality with you and yours, okay? It's going to help to increase your energy levels, water. It's going to alleviate any headaches that you're going to get, if you get headaches. And also, if you're in a lot because it's cold outside, the heating may be on. And that's one reason why you might get headaches. So it's going to really help hydrate you if you are in a very warm environment. If you go to a party, try not to fast before you go. And when I say fast, I use that term loosely. Don't starve yourself. Make sure you eat something. Eating every few hours is really important to keep your metabolism high. And then you can burn calories instead of holding on to them. You can burn really efficiently if your metabolism is kept steady. It's also going to prevent you from overeating at the party if you eat something throughout the day before you go to that party. You're less likely to pick or choose the fatty and high calorific foods. And you could even offer to bring some healthy snacks with you. At least you'll know then that you've got something to pick at if nobody else wants it. Number six, be sensible with booze. Make a decision not to drink every time you go out, and you're going to feel a lot better the morning after. Your calorific intake will be reduced. You won't be absorbing empty calories that you're going to find in the alcohol, and you're going to feel more healthy, you're going to feel more alert, and you're more likely to continue eating well and exercising. So don't take yourself off that lovely railroad track of consistency by just overdoing it with a bit of sugar and water, which they call alcohol. When you do drink, choose something like a light beer or a vodka, if that's your tapple, a lime and soda, rather than the other really, really highly sugared, shorts, like your brandies, etc. Number seven, focus on good company. Over Christmas, it's time to catch up with family and friends, isn't it? And it should be your main focus. I'm not assuming that everybody has a close network of family and friends. I'm not taking that for granted. But if that is you, rather than eating everything in sight, try and focus on them and being with them and spending time with them. Don't always focus everything on the food. I know we do. I'm guilty of it myself because I think food brings people together. Of course, it's the food that you deliver to the people. But sometimes if you know you're going to be overindulgent, take the food out of the equation, come out of the kitchen, go into another room, play a game, put some music on, have a boogie together. Do something that is not going to be around food all the time. So we're on number 8 of ways to avoid Christmas weight gain. Try to avoid eating late after 8 o'clock at night. When you eat late at night, you're more likely to choose the quick, the fatty foods, which will then be stored as fat because there's no time to break down. You're going to go to bed and you slow down after a certain amount of time because your body is aware that everything is coming to a still. So try to start the day with a lovely big breakfast. Obviously, if it's applicable to your circumstances, try and see if you can get it into your system. You want to mix your proteins, your carbohydrates, some good fats and fiber, and eat less as the day goes on. I have a saying, and it's a well-known saying that has been used over and over again. It is breakfast for a king, lunch for a queen, and dinner for a pauper. So try and have your main meal first and then reduce it as the evening wears on. And you should be full enough after dinner, whatever time that is before 8, so that you don't feel the need to pick after 8. Okay? Number 9, put the treats back. This is the one time of year when your cupboards are likely to be stocked full of goodies for your guests. So go on, keep them for your guests. Put them out of sight so that you're not tempted to dig in and get really, really, really overstuffed. If they're for your guests, keep them for your guests. Now, the last one is number 10, and this is how you're going to create the balance of everything you put into your body. Exercise. If you already exercise, keep exercising. If you don't, try and do a little something to create that balance. So giving up your exercise routine over Christmas is only going to lead to you piling on the pounds even quicker. That isn't rocket science. So you're going to feel sluggish, frustrated, and it's going to be 10 times harder to get back into fitness come January and thereafter. So try and schedule your exercise routine around the parties and gatherings. Planning's the key, really. If you know you're going out Monday night, maybe you can get a little run in during the day on Monday, or maybe a long walk, or maybe just a matter of doing an ab session somewhere. Maybe you've got a DVD, you could put some yoga and Pilates in. Whatever it is, just try and get something in there, and you'll be okay throughout the Christmas season. So those are my suggestions for 10 ways to avoid Christmas weight gain. Don't deprive yourself of seasonal food. Choose the ones that you really want and leave the others. Eat your normal portion size. Don't overindulge where you don't have to. Don't hang out by the party buffet. Drink lots of water. Don't fast before a party. Be sensible with your booze. Focus on your good company rather than on the food. Avoid eating after 8 p.m. Try and have a big breakfast and make it reduced throughout the day. Put the treats back. If you've bought treats for your guests, leave them for your guests. And finally, number 10, keep on exercising. Don't stop. Even if it's just 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes is better than nothing.
And no one ever will. represent addicted to bass. Winter 2009.
Good, yes, wonderful, good.
I gotta go home. The essential speaker blowing collection, containing some of the most extreme bassline pressure from drum and bass, jungle, dubstep, UK funky, garage, bassline, and fidget house, mixed by the award-winning White Boys.
Mega.
Featuring exclusive remixes and upfront material from The Prodigy, Dizzy Rascal, Pendulum, Shy FX, Chasing Status, Scream, Rascal, MJ Cole, Agent X, Artful Dodger, Boy Better Know, Wiley, Doneo, plus loads more. Addicted to Bass, Winter 2009, from Ministry of Sound, out now.
What's up, y'all? So you want to be a star? Well, come to the Partyoke and show us what you got, yeah? This is a weekly event every Sunday at Murphy's with your host, me, Patrick Allen from the Ten Rooms, and Lady Carol, the mother of the stars. It's a 5-pound entry with flyer or text and 7 pounds at the door, so get on the guest list, yeah? Now, we also welcome hen night, stag parties, and party bookings. Now, that's Murphy's at 102 to 108 Clerkenwell Road, EC1M5SA. Now, for more info, call Lady Carol on 0786-038-4253 or 07957-715-011. And that's Murphy's every Sunday.
Don't forget, doors open at 7.
Sponsored by James Shuker, High Street Park inside.
Are you a model or an artist looking for professional photos, either for that all-exclusive portfolio or for promotional material? Maybe you're a corporate entity looking to expand your brand and visual representation. LJ Photographic offers you professional, exciting and artistic photos for that special occasion. Contact LJ Photographic on 07956 994 181 or email Lloyd Jones on ljphotographic@aol.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Nico of the Nico Health and Fitness Show, and I'm going to be talking about brain foods. So here we are. When I say brain foods, I really mean the kinds of foods that allow you to be stimulated mentally. That's the important thing, isn't it? Because the new year's coming, and we are going to be in some way challenged as we take on these new goals that we're hoping to do, and etc. So I think it's important that we get ourselves ready and work out how we can stimulate that brain. And one of the ways to do it is going to be through food. It's a great way to get you mentally motivated. Because if we are guided by a brain, aren't we? So if we allow the brain to lead us, it can take us to really big heights. And as the body ages, it's going to go through lots and lots of changes. And some of these are visible, like wrinkles and graying hair, and some are not so apparent. A lot of people feel they no longer think as clearly or learn as quickly as they did when they were younger. It doesn't seem as easy. If you start driving when you're about 40 plus, there's so many things that you've got in your mind that you need to undo before you can even get behind the steering wheel, let alone actually start trying to learn to drive the car. Whereas as a child, we just do it, don't we? Before level we get up, don't matter. Now, a lot of people complain about forgetfulness. And in some very, very extreme cases, there's going to be poor memory, which is Alzheimer's and dementia. And it becomes clear that many problems with memory may be due to a lack of brain-boosting nutrients in the diet. So we're not going to know unless we try. So here's my suggestion. Come the new year, how about you just see whether what I'm giving you here now can help you? Nothing ventured. So there's something called free radicals and antioxidants, which I always spill into a conversation when I'm here with you. And so just to recap on what they are, it seems that the researchers now agree that many of the signs of aging are the result of free radical activity. What are free radicals? Well, they are chemicals that attack the body's cells and they cause irreparable damage. It's like they're constantly trying to break us down. They're atoms that have become chemically very active because they have an unpaired electron. And electrons usually revolve around the center of an atom in pairs. When there is an unpaired electron, the atom attacks other atoms in cells because they're looking for another electron. Hey, I'm single. I want a buddy. And this can result in a lot of damage to the cells of the body and the brain. Now, there are common sources of free radicals. For example, pollution, fried foods, radiation, sunlight. However, the body also produces free radicals when fighting infections, or when we're exercising, or when we're simply breathing. So over time, free radical damage accumulates and gradually signs of aging become more and more apparent. And the brain is particularly vulnerable to free radical damage because these harmful, vulnerable, these chemicals are attracted to fatty tissues. And the brain structure, as you may well know, is primarily fat. Dun diddle dun 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 da! But help is at hand in the form of nutrients. So here comes the help, nutrients, and they're called antioxidants. And this is, they combat the effects of free radicals. A bit like the Joker and Batman, isn't it? Antioxidants incapacitate free radicals and block their path of destruction. And a plentiful supply of antioxidants in the diet can help to slow down the signs of aging and may boost a failing memory. How many times have you gone into a room and forgotten what you went in there for? Happens to me all the time. I have to admit, it's happening a lot more frequently than I care to mention. So luckily, there are lots of healthy foods that are a rich source of antioxidants. And that's what I'm going to talk about now. Because if you get those antioxidants within your body, you're going to be one step closer to protecting yourself against the free radicals that are constantly trying to break you down. So the key antioxidants are vitamins A, C, and E. And they are found in abundance. I say it again, in abundance. Talking about this all of last week when I was talking about your kale and green leafy vegetables and your kiwi fruit and so on. They're found in abundance in fresh fruits and vegetables. They work, the vitamins, together to protect the brain and the body by disarming the free radicals. So it really is a war that's going on. In their work as antioxidants, vitamins C and E are going to work together. And this is to make each other more effective. So it's that thing of joining forces to become stronger. They call this a synergy. And it's a synergy between nutrients. In fact, vitamin C recycles vitamin E, allowing it to carry on working for longer. Now, a diet rich in fruits and vegetables is going to help to protect the brain and preserve the memory. So it's not just someone having a go at you and they're saying, eat plenty of fruits and veg. There is a reason. Now, there was a study started in 1999. It's the American Journal of Epidemiology, and that is the insight into diseases. Reported a study investigating the protective effects of antioxidants on memory. More than 5,000 men and women aged 60 and older were given memory tests and had blood samples taken from them. The researchers concluded that those with high levels of vitamin E in their blood were found to have the best memories. This research is going to confirm the importance of the role of vitamin E in boosting your memory. So whatever age you are, don't wait for it to happen. Whatever age you are, get those vitamin E foods into you. And I'll be telling you about them a bit later. So since we know that the antioxidant nutrients work together, it's important to eat lots of antioxidant-rich fruits and veg. And that's for maximum brain protection and improved recall, so you can remember things. Now, there's something called anthocyanidins. Anthocyanidins. Recently, researchers have discovered some very powerful antioxidants called anthocyanidins. And they're thought to be about 50 times more powerful than vitamin E, providing strong protection for the brain from the damaging effects of free radicals. Now, they're going to be found in abundance, in abundance in certain foods and, certain fruits and berries. So you might well find them in fruits and stems and bark and seeds and flowers and leaves. Anthocyanidins are interesting because they can provide protection from a real wide variety of toxins and free radicals. And that's in both watery and fatty parts of the body, which is very, very useful. Because with vitamins, you've got water-soluble and you've got water-insoluble. And so they tend to just play a part in one of those areas. Whereas these anthocyanidins are saying that they can do both. Hey, give it to us. So this in contrast to other antioxidants like the vitamin C, which, as I said, can only protect watery parts of the body, while your vitamins A and E can only protect your fatty tissues. The significance of this dual role becomes apparent when we consider the composition of the human body. Most organs have both fatty and watery components. So once again, colour can give us a clue as to the relative merits of selected fruits. This is something I always say, eat colourful fruits and veggies because they're going to really protect you. Red, purple, blue fruits, in particular your berries, are really, really rich in anthocyanidins and will give you maximum protection to protect the brain cells. Red peppers, yellow peppers, green peppers, apricots, broccoli, blueberries, strawberries, all of those are really going to help you. Now, B vitamins, I swear by B vitamins because when you're really run down and feeling a bit energyless, B vitamins are the one because they help brain energy. The brain consumes almost 25% of the energy used in the body. So I've only got 75% left. 25%, that's about a quarter of the, it's quite a lot actually. In order to convert food into energy to power the neuro messages that have to happen and transport from the brain to the muscles and vice versa, the brain is going to depend on all of the B vitamins, B1, B2, B3, B5, B6, folic acid and B12. And the elderly seem to be particularly prone to vitamin B12 deficiency. It may be due to inefficient digestion and poor absorption. I don't know whether you've noticed that on the market there's a particular brand, don't necessarily want to advertise them, but there's a particular brand out there that presently has realized there is a complete niche for putting vitamins into a bottle specific to something. So for your joints, for calcium absorption, for example, or for oiling your joints for omega-3s, or for energy, for vitamin Bs. All of those different things, they have realized that people need it, and they have done one for the elderly, over 50 plus, I think they call it, something like that. They've done one for women only, done one for men only. I mean, I think it's great because it means then that you can just buy the one and know that you're getting what you need, specific to who you are. So without the B vitamin energy makers, the brain is going to be less alert and thinking is going to slow down. The complex of B vitamins are found in liver, brewer's yeast. I remember taking that as a child, actually, not quite understanding what the hell it was. Whole grains. Couscous, barley, brown rice. You're going to find it all in those things. And it's important to try and add them to your diet. So far, that's us talking about brain food and how we can boost our memory. There's lots more for you to learn, so don't go anywhere.
I keep on falling in and love with you. Sometimes I love you.
Fitness show, and we're talking about memory boosting at the moment, how you can boost your memory and get it ready for the new year. So I talked about antioxidants, I talked about that wonderful new word that was introduced to us, which is anthocyanidins, and I talked about free radicals. And antioxidant foods can delay the effects of aging on your mental performance. I think we've established that. And I think now we need to talk about what types of foods you want to put in your body. So the key antioxidants are you going to be your vitamins A and E. They're going to protect the fatty parts of the brain and the body, including the nerve cell membranes. And vitamin C works with vitamin E for maximum antioxidant power, remembering that it recycles it so it can go on for longer. Now, berries. We hear so much about berries being the new power food, don't we? The new power food, as if they've just suddenly been introduced to us. Berries have always been there. I know knowledge is the key, and knowledge allows us to now realise how beneficial they are. But we need to take that knowledge, move forwards with it, and not get caught up in the media and marketing hype of spending an absolute fortune on something because we think it's going to suddenly boost us and improve us. And then it's a fad. And we move on and forget about it. Berries should be a part of your everyday life. It shouldn't be something you suddenly just pick up and put down. So new research has declared that berries are anti-aging foods. Yeah. The active ingredient is a group of flavonoids. And we've already talked about that group of flavonoids. It's that wonderful anthocyanidins. Very, very powerful antioxidants. Really going to support your brain, support your mental ability to function. Anthocyanidins have also been found to prevent collagen from breaking down. And collagen is the elastic component in your skin, your joints, and in particular, your vein and your arteries. And they carry the nutrients to the brain. Anthocyanidin-rich fruits include blackberries, blueberries, cranberries, blackcurrants, and black grapes. Aren't they expensive, though? You know, if you go to some supermarket, you're paying £3 for a small container of berries. I passed a market, I think it was at the weekend, could have been Friday actually, and they were doing two very full punnets here in the UK, in London, for £1. I mean, I think each one was about 250 grams. That same 250 grams is about £3 and change in the supermarkets. So shop wisely. Yes, you want to get them into your body, but you don't want to break the bank. And they are out there a lot more cost effective than what you may think. Anthocyanidins are robust nutrients. I'm going to keep saying it so you can really understand it and get it into your system mentally and physically by eating it. And they survive various food processes. So when fresh berries are not available, that is fresh berries, you can have them canned, you can have them frozen. They're going to help you just as effectively. In addition to being rich in anthocyanidins, berries boast high levels of vitamin C and beta-carotene. That's the precursor of vitamin A. That's the bit before vitamin A when it is changed in our body. So they're also key antioxidants. That is number one of your high antioxidant food, berries. The second one is carrots. The third one is sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes. I love carrots, actually. I don't eat them enough. I will put my hands up and say that. I do love sweet potatoes, and I do eat those enough. So here we go. Orange color found in carrots and in sweet potatoes, of course, depending on the variety that you buy, indicates that they're loaded with beta-carotene. And we've just established that that is the precursor to vitamin A. We've just established that vitamin A is a great antioxidant for the fatty parts of the brain and the body. So this carotenoid pigment converts to vitamin A in the body when needed, and is a powerful force in the fight against free radicals. Carrots contain more beta-carotene than any other vegetable. Just look at their colour. They're so bright and vibrant. Have you ever been to a DIY store and seen a pot of paint called carrot? I have to admit I haven't, and I think they should if they have a pot of bright orange paint. Sweet potatoes are also full of brain-protecting antioxidants. In addition to beta-carotene, they're also rich in vitamin C and E. Now, choose the darkest orange specimens with the highest amount of beta-carotene when you're going for either. Avoid the older vegetables because they're going to appear drier and shriveled and sunken areas around the ends. The beta-carotene is more absorbable when cooked, so bake it, steam it, boil it. Do whatever you want to do, but heat it for those vegetables. And I have to admit, that's one of the reasons why I don't have carrots as much. I would rather juice carrots, which can, I feel, sometimes be a bit palaver because I put the juicer away and I have to take it out. And I don't feel like cooking carrots unless I'm roasting them. So I need to get over that. I need to get out of that and get more carrots into my life from a cooking basis. Another couple of great antioxidants, watercress. I have that in abundance in my fridge at the moment. I love it. And peas. About 3 months ago, I was over in love with peas. My body must have been telling me something. I have to admit, I've subsided. It's amazing how you indulge in something so much and then you naturally stop. Peas and sweet corn, they were the things that I would just come in and have with some olive oil in a bowl. Don't ask. Watercress is an excellent source of vitamin C. Now, if you have a mere ounce, a mere 3.5 ounces of watercress, it's going to contain the recommended dietary allowance, your RDA, of vitamin C. However, vitamin C is particularly vulnerable to degradation, so of degrading, and as much as 50% can be lost during storage in just 2 weeks. So buy your watercress as fresh as you can and eat it as soon as you can after purchase. The deep green color of watercress means color, deep, rich, means that it is again rich in beta carotene. Now peas, those lovely little green balls that you either cook by boiling, steaming, microwaving, or just adding to a dish. They are wonderful antioxidants because in addition to providing beta carotene and vitamin C, they contain more protein than most other vegetables. When I read that initially, that was news to me. So I was obviously lacking protein when I was on a crave for peas. Pea protein is deficient in the amino acids methionine and cysteine, but these are supplied in ample amounts by eating things like your cereal grains, including your rice and your wheat. So even though you're getting a lot of protein in your peas, unfortunately you're missing two amino acids. And amino acids, just to remind you, are the building blocks of protein. They make up protein. So you get them elsewhere. Eat them, eat rice, eat some wheat, and you'll get the methionine and the cysteine. In addition, the legume protein contains sufficient lysine, that is another amino acid, to cover the deficiencies of this amino acid in grain proteins. Yeah? So a meal that combines peas with a grain has a higher quality of protein than either food alone. So combine them and you're going to get lots of lovely protein. These amino acids are going to supply the brain with the basic building blocks of neurotransmitters. Now, you can get peas in lots of forms. They can be frozen, they can be fresh, they can be canned, they can be dried. Cooked dried peas provide about twice as many carbohydrates and proteins as cooked fresh peas. However, fresh peas are a much better source of the antioxidants, vitamins, beta-carotene and vitamin C. So really, you're just going to have to choose which one you want. And if you can try and have a bit of both, you're going to get happy balance. As a general rule, fresh peas provide more vitamins and minerals than frozen or canned. However, here we go again, frozen or canned peas are better than raw peas that have been stored too long because they'd have lost a lot of their nutritional content. So the usual thing, priorities, choice, knowledge, they're all key, aren't they? How many of you out there enjoy fish? Because that's what I'm going to talk about now as a great way to support that mental ability. We're talking right now, if you've just logged on, about boosting the brain and different ways that you can increase your mental ability for the new year. What with all these great goals that you're going to be achieving and setting, it would be good if the brain keeps up with the body, wouldn't it? And vice versa. Normally I'm focusing on the body, but today I'm focusing on the brain. So oily fish, the omega-3 oils that you're going to find in certain fishes are really crucial for protecting parts of the brain that send messages to the body. Now, fishy sources of these essential fatty acids will include mackerel, sardines, and kippers. Love all of them. Fresh salmon and tuna also contains high levels of omega-3 oils, although the canned version of these fish are actually poorer sources. A diet rich in fatty acids will not only protect the function of the nervous system, but it's also going to enhance your mental abilities. And we're always being told, especially as we're growing up, eat fish, it's going to help with concentration. If you're going for lots of exams, we're encouraged to eat lots of oily fish because it's going to help you retain information and so on. It's true. I mentioned earlier on brewer's yeast as being one of the things that's going to really help support mental ability. Well, here, let's find out more about it. What is brewer's yeast? It's a non-leavening yeast that is rich in virtually all the important brain-boosting nutrients. It contains 16 amino acids, 14 minerals, and 17 vitamins. It's an excellent memory booster that can provide a tasty addition to many, many meals. When you buy it, it's usually sold in the form of a powder for use in cooking or as tablets or capsules. Brewer's yeast is rich in vitamin B complex. That's great. Immediately you're thinking of energy and increased brain function. And that provides the cofactors needed to convert food to thinking fuel and to convert amino acids to neurotransmitters. Just a quarter cup supplies 86% of the RDA, recommended daily allowance, for vitamin B1 and 56% of the RDA for vitamin B3. It is rich in iron, chromium, potassium, and magnesium, all very, very beneficial minerals that you need to function daily. It also supplies the key minerals needed for alertness and concentration. So if you need to be alert because you're on the road a lot, if you need to be alert because of your finicky, detailed work that you do every day, or just because you want to know that you're in control of what you're doing and you're on top of things, get brewer's yeast in your diet. It's important that you realize, though, that brewer's yeast is high in purines and should be avoided by those who have gout or kidney stones. Purines, just so you know, are nitrogen-containing chemicals found in many foods and are excreted from the body as uric acid, which is seen as a toxin. So, I think we've talked about all of those lovely memory-boosting vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, learnt about free radicals, learnt about the great increased effects of anthocyanins. How are you going to incorporate it? Well, here's a couple of ideas, a couple of suggestions for you if you want to boost your memory food-wise. You could have a mid-morning break and shake, which is a milkshake, and I'll give you the recipe for that. If you wanted to have lunch with memory-boosting foods, I'll give you the recipe for a thick carrot soup with orange and ginger. Or if you like kippah, you could have kippah and brown rice kedgeree. For dinner, how about spiced mackerel with celeriac mash, steamed peas and carrots? There's a dessert there as well, poached cherries with almond milk pudding. And then if you're thinking of snacks throughout the day, you want to get some fresh fruit in there and some herbal and some fruit teas. So when I come back, I'm going to share all those lovely edible recipes with you.
Only
lovely Alicia Keys, isn't it? Very, very nice. No one. Right. Memory boosting menu. That's what I've promised you, isn't it? And that's what I'm going to give you. So I talked about, I went through a list of breakfast, lunch and dinner and snacks. And I'm going to do it in that order. So if you're writing this down, here's just a couple of suggestions of how you can get these great vitamins and minerals into your diet. Breakfast could be something called a break and shake, a really nice morning shake. Ingredients is going to be some yeast powder, some brewer's yeast powder, which I've just talked about, which has got untold vitamins and minerals. 16 amino acids, just to remind you, 17 vitamins and 14 minerals in it. Great. So have 2 tablespoons of brewer's yeast powder. Have 1 1/4 cups of tropical fruit or apple juice. 1 teaspoon of molasses. And molasses is really easy to find. It's sugar, but it's unrefined sugar. So you don't have to use as much. Find it in the sugar department. And 1 teaspoon of linseeds. I'd actually be glad for the linseeds to be in the drink because I don't like the taste of linseeds for whatever reason. They tend to make me feel quite nauseous. You know, if you get a roll and it's got linseeds on it, or you get some kind of food with linseed in it, they're so small that you rarely bite them. So they come out the other end whole. That's another tip maybe you didn't need to know, but they do. They're so tiny. And I think because you don't break them down, for some reason, that bothers me. I don't know. Anyway, what do you do for this break and shake? You can put the brewer's yeast in a blender with the fruit juice, with the molasses, and blend them well. And then you want to roughly grind the linseeds, which is going to help them be digested easier and not go down whole, as I was saying. Use a pestle and mortar to do this, and then add them to a small bowl and crush with the end of a rolling pin. So you're really getting them like powder. Add to the fruit juice and blend together for a minute. All you've got to do now is pour the shake into a large, tall tumbler and drink immediately. That's measurements for one person, and it's going to take about 5 minutes. That is a mid-morning break and shake. You could have it if you wanted for breakfast, if you really wanted. You could add this to, other ways of getting your brewer's yeast into your diet. You can add it to soups and stews and mueslis, and that's going to help you as well. But this is a great way of just throwing something together and really getting your energy levels up. Now, the next thing I talked about was lunch. And it was a thick carrot soup with orange and ginger. Don't know about you, but that sounds pretty decent to me. It's a bit cold in London today. Not as cold as yesterday, but it's cold. So a thick carrot soup with orange and ginger would go down a treat. I don't know whether you know this, but carrots team up very, very well with other excellent immune-building ingredients of garlic and ginger. And fresh orange juice provides extra antioxidant contents. So here's the ingredients. Get a pen, get a paper. Are you ready? 1.5 pounds of carrots, peeled, roughly chopped. 2-inch piece of fresh ginger, finely chopped. 3 3/4 cups of vegetable stock or water. 1/4 cup of chopped parsley, 2/3 cup of orange juice, sea salt, pinch, freshly ground black pepper, pinch, thick yogurt. What do you do? Well, you're going to put the carrots in a pan with the ginger, with the veg stock, or the water, and bring to the boil. Remember that if you use water, it's going to be less flavoursome, so that's why the alternative of vegetable stock is there. Also bear in mind, try to have low salt vegetable stock as an option. Reduce the heat, simmer for 12 to 15 minutes or until soft and cooked through. Remove from the heat. Now work this in batches. Put the soup in a blender. Have you ever tried to put a whole load of soup from a pot that is hot in a blender without realizing that you should do it in batches? Don't do it. It's very messy. Put the soup in a blender with the parsley, orange juice, salt and pepper and blend until smooth. Now return the soup to the pan, adjust the seasoning to taste. Either simmer gently until hot, and then you can serve it with a little lovely thick Greek yogurt, or just thick yogurt. Or you could serve it lukewarm, or you could actually serve it cold. This is going to serve 6 people. Preparation time, 20 minutes. Cooking time, 15 minutes. All you need is just over half an hour to make some lovely thick carrot soup with orange and ginger. So that's part of your lunch. If you didn't want to do that, or you wanted that as a starter for lunch, and you wanted to have the kippah and brown rice kedgeree that I talked about, here's the recipe for it. So kedgeree, what is it? Kedgeree is a traditional breakfast or brunch dish, and all too often, it's actually laced with a lot of cream and melted butter. So this is a far more wholesome version that I'm going to tell you, and it's lightly spiced with a pinch of curry powder and made with energy-sustaining brown rice. Now, don't forget, if you want to make any alternatives that are going to season it up differently for your palate, anything you want to take out or add, as long as it's healthful, go for it. Knock yourself out. So here we are, pen and paper. 1 1/4 cups of brown basmati rice. 2 onions sliced. And remember, I know people who don't like onions. So if you don't like onions, chuck them out. Maybe you want to put a few leeks in there because they're from the onion family. 1/3 cup of vegetable oil. 1 teaspoon of curry powder. 10 ounces of kippahs. Well, if you can't get kippahs or don't want kippahs, smoked mackerel. 4 eggs, hard boiled and chopped. Kedgeree isn't really kedgeree without the eggs, is it? But if, like me, you don't eat egg yolk, you might want to consider taking the egg yolk out and just having the egg white. Or eggless kedgeree. Hey, it's food. It's good for you. It don't matter. 1/4 cup of chopped parsley. 2 tablespoons of chopped dill. 1/4 cup of golden raisins. Sea salt and freshly ground black pepper. A pinch of each. And if you want to garnish it, a piece of dill. So here we are. How do you cook it? Cook the brown rice in boiling water for about 30 to 35 minutes or until the grains are soft and tender. Gently cook the onions in the oil or the leeks or whatever alternatives you choose until golden brown and crisp. And then add the curry powder. Stir for a minute or two. Remove the kippah or the mackerel flesh from the skin and bones and flake into large pieces. Add the flaked fish to the hot onion and curry mixture and toss together over the heat until the fish is hot. You want to make sure that you don't break up the fish too much. Mix the cooked rice into the fish mixture with the chopped hard-boiled eggs, parsley, the dill, the golden raisins, and toss together. Season to taste with salt and pepper. Garnish with your dill. And if you fancy it, a bit of mango chutney. Now with the brown rice, one of the things that I would add is I would add a vegetable stock to the brown rice water so that it flavours the rice and therefore flavours the dish a little bit more. This kippah and brown rice kedgeree is going to serve 4 to 6 people, the measurements I've given you. The preparation time is going to be 15 minutes and the cooking time, whacking, 35 minutes. So you need no more than 50 minutes. It took you under an hour to cook kippah and brown rice kedgeree. Now with the soup and the kedgeree, you could have a little small mixed salad of your choice. So whether it's some tomatoes, some spring onions, some lettuce, whatever it is that you fancy, you could have that. Dinner. We're going to talk about spiced mackerel with celeriac mash. So mackerel, as we know, is great for the oiliness and good for the brain. Very, very robust fish and plenty of essential fatty acids, omega-3s. You're going to need 1 teaspoon of cumin seeds, 1 teaspoon of crushed black peppercorns, 1 pinch of chili flakes. Do you know what? I really swear by chili flakes. They save the day on everything that I cook. If I'm putting some beans in a pot, just normal baked beans, chili flakes go in with some black pepper and some garlic because I want to season it up. I don't want plain baked beans. But the chili flakes, once you put your beans on your plate, whether it's on toast or just beans with something else, all of a sudden, whew, it's quite exotic, really. 4 large mackerel, gutted, descaled, a handful of dill sprigs. There's that dill again. Great for fish. 2/3 cup of hard cider. Now, I don't actually know what hard cider is. What does it mean? Yeah, I'm hard. I don't know what they mean by that. So interpret it how you want. If you know, please tell me. 12 ounces of celeriac, peeled and cubed. And that is like a vegetable. If you can't get it, then I would suggest celery. 1.5 pounds of russet potatoes cubed. If you can't get russet potatoes, just get normal potatoes. 1/4 cup of milk or soy milk, 2 to 4 tablespoons of olive oil, a pinch of sea salt, a pinch of freshly ground black pepper, a couple of lemon wedges to serve. Have you got your pen and paper ready? Because here's how you're going to do it. Mix the cumin seeds, peppercorns, and chili flakes together. Put the mackerel into a shallow container. Sprinkle the spices over the fish and coat evenly in the mixture. You want to cover that and let it marinate for a couple of hours, couple of days, a week, whatever it is, but make sure it's in the fridge covered. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 200 degrees Celsius. Put the mackerel into a baking dish. Stuff the fish with sprigs of dill. Pour the cider over and around the fish. Now loosely cover the dish with foil and bake in the preheated oven for 15 to 20 minutes or until the fish is just cooked or until the fish is just kicked. Meanwhile, put the celeriac into a pan of boiling water and boil for 5 minutes. Add the potatoes, cook together for a further 15 to 20 minutes or until both the potatoes and the celeriac are soft when prodded. Drain it well, mash the vegetables with the milk and the olive oil. Season to taste and season with salt and pepper. Now you can serve the fish with the potato and the celeriac mash and thick wedges of lemon. This is going to serve 4 people. It's going to take 15 minutes plus your marinating time, and it's going to take 25 minutes to cook. So you're talking about 40 minutes, less than 3/4 of an hour to cook spiced mackerel with celeriac mash. Sounds quite nice, actually. And I'm looking at a picture of it, and the mackerel looks really crispy on the outside and really fleshy on the inside and really well seasoned. Now, there was a dessert with dinner if you want to really boost your memory and go the whole hog. Poached cherries with almond milk pudding. And I'm going to be honest, this didn't really appeal to me. Didn't think that much of it. So I'm going to change it and I'm going to tell you the recipe for cranberry compote with lemon cake. Now, cranberries can be used in a lot of savory and dessert dishes. It's a compote is where you break down the fruit and it's going to have lots of juices with it. It could be served with roast pork, with chicken. It could be served, as we're doing it, with lemon cake. Let's talk about the lemon cake and the cranberry compote with it. Have you got your pen and paper ready? Here's the ingredients. 1.5 cups of cranberries, 2/3 cup of orange or apple juice, 1/2 to 2/3 cup of honey. Already it's sounding delicious. Thick yogurt or low-fat creme fraiche. You're going to use that to serve. If you really want to knock the boat out, you're going to get a piece of mint because that's going to be your garnish. Now, that's just the cranberries. The lemon cake. I just have to share with you, Tuesday? On Saturday, I had an extra hour. I got in and I was like, woohoo, got an extra hour before I go out. Baked a cake, didn't I? I baked what you call a pound cake. This cake never fails me. It never fails to amaze me because every single time I bake it, it comes out perfect. Now, the funny thing is, I wanted to make a rum cake and I wanted to use the pound cake as the base. And I had some leftover rum from when I was entertaining ages ago. The thing here is that it tells you to put vanilla essence in it, which is enough liquid for you to make it the consistency it needs to be. So I took the vanilla essence, I put some in, but not as much as you should do, so it wouldn't be too runny. And I put about 2 tablespoons of rum in it. When it actually baked, could I taste the rum? I wasn't impressed. So I'm going to have to try and find a way of getting the rum flavor in there without using artificial rum flavor, which is going to be very, very strong and artificial, using the real rum, but without making the mixture too runny. And I know the obvious answer is, we'll put more flour in it. Yeah, but that might not work. I don't know. I'm going to play with it. But I just wanted to share that with you because I found it quite funny. Because when I shared it out and said, okay, rum cake, everybody was like, oh, where the rum? Because there wasn't any. Right, where were we? Lemon cake. 3/4 cup butter. 3/4 cup of unrefined raw cane sugar. 3 eggs beaten. And just to recap, the 3/4 cup of butter, if you don't have butter like myself, you might want to have soya margarine, which there is a brand that doesn't have the hydrogenated fats, which change the circulation of the body. And because they've had gas pumped into them, it's just not good for you. So if you're looking for margarine, try to go for a good one that doesn't have all the chemicals and rubbish in it. It just is literally oil and some emulsifiers to break down the fats where necessary, and your vitamins that are added to it. Okay, let me start again, okay? 3/4 cup of butter or margarine, 3/4 cup unrefined raw cane sugar, 3 eggs beaten, 1.5 cups of rice flour or all-purpose flour, and that means plain flour because you're going to put 2 teaspoons of baking powder in there. You're going to grate some lemons, because it is lemon cake, hello. You're going to grate zest and juice of 2 lemons, and then there's going to be 1/4 cup of unrefined raw cane sugar. So I'll work out how that happens, why there's 2 separate raw cane sugars. Pen and paper ready again. Here's how you do it. Put the berries in a saucepan with the fruit juice. Poach it very gently for 10 minutes. This is the compote you're making. Remove from the heat and sweeten with the honey. Leave it to cool. Now, preheat the oven, 400 degrees Fahrenheit, 200 degrees Celsius. Grease and line an 8-inch cake pan. Cream the butter or marge with the sugar. Make it fluffy and light. Add the eggs a little at a time, beating well between each addition. Now sift the flour and the baking powder together and fold in the creamed mixture with the grated lemon zest. You want to combine it really, really well. Spoon the mixture into the prepared pan, level the surface, and bake in the middle of a preheated oven for 35 minutes. Meanwhile, place the lemon juice in a pan with 1/2 the sugar and heat gently until the sugar has dissolved. Bring the syrup to a boil. Remove from the heat and leave to cool. I know what they're going to do. They're going to have a lovely lemon syrup for the top. It's like when I make lemon drizzle cake. Remove the cake from the oven, leave to cool in the pan for 10 minutes and then turn out. Lightly prick the surface of the cake and pour the lemon syrup over the top. Sprinkle with the remaining sugar and let stand for 30 minutes. Obviously, you know whether you should sprinkle with the remaining sugar. Sieve the cake cut. Serve the cake cut into slices and have a lovely big spoonful of your cranberry compote or with yogurt or low-fat creme fraiche. Have you got your mint there? If you have it, just put it on top and edge your presentation. So that is going to serve 6 to 8 people. Preparation time is 20 minutes. Cooking time, 45 minutes, including your cooling time. So that is just over an hour to bake a lovely cranberry compote with lemon cake. So there you have it. You have a 3-course meal designed for you to be able to boost your immune system, get your brain working more efficiently, be able to achieve your goals for the new year. And in between all of that, if you feel like you want a snack, a bit of fresh fruit, make sure it's the brightly coloured ones. and maybe some herbal and fruit teas if you feel like a little fluid intake. I'd like to know how you do. Please let me know.
Meet other listeners, blog and share your experiences and your photos and ting. It's Bear Jokes, yeah, on playvibes.com. Adelaide McKenzie, and I'm tuned into www.playvibes.com.
I'm Nico from Self Love. Self Love delivers both yoga and Pilates to all, whether on a one-to-one basis or in groups. Together, yoga and Pilates help you to de-stress, reduce aches and pains, increase focus and concentration, energy, and most importantly, relax. Visit www.selfloveonline.co.uk to find out more about how you can incorporate both yoga and Pilates into your life. Take care. take a breath.
Records. Ministry of Sound presents Addicted to Bass, Winter 2009. I gotta go home. The Essential Speaker Blowing Collection, containing some of the most extreme bassline pressure. From drum and bass, jungle, dubstep, UK funky, garage, bassline, and Fisher House. Mixed by the award-winning Wide Boys.
Mega.
Featuring exclusive remixes and upfront material from The Prodigy, Dizzy Rascal, Pendulum, Shy Effects, Chasing Status, Scream, Roscoe, MJ Cole, Agent X, Artful Dodger, Boy Better Know, Wiley, Doneo, plus loads more. Addicted to Bass Winter 2009 from Ministry of Sound. Out now.
What's up, y'all? So you want to be a star? Well, come to the Partyoke and show us what you got, yeah? This is a weekly event every Sunday at Murphy's with your host, me, Patrick Allen from the Ten Rooms, and Lady Carol, the mother of the stars. It's a 5-pound entry with flyer or text and 7 pounds at the door, so get on the guest list, yeah? Now, we also welcome hen night, stag parties, and party bookings. Now, that's Murphy's at 102 to 108 Clerkenwell Road, EC1M5SA. Now, for more info, call Lady Carol on 0786-038-4253 or 07957-715-011. And that's Murphy's. Every Sunday.
Don't forget, doors open at 7.
Sponsored by James Shuke, High Street Park inside.
Are you a model or an artist looking for professional photos, either for that all-exclusive portfolio or for promotional material? Maybe you're a corporate entity looking to expand your brand and visual representation. LJ Photographic offers you professional, exciting and artistic photos for that special occasion. Contact LJ Photographic on 07956 994 181 or email Lloyd Jones on ljphotographic@aol.com.
Welcome back to Nico Health and Fitness Show, and I'm talking now, at this next stage. You know, you've only got 20 minutes left. I can't believe it. Where does time go? But I want to talk about pressures in the workplace, especially in the new year, where we're going to make all these resolutions and do things that we do every year but never complete. Sorry, yeah. But we're going to complete them this year, because this year is the year, in 2010. I want to talk about how you don't get the chance to sort your diet out because you let other things get in the way. What is it that affects you on an everyday basis? It might not be that you work. You might not work. You know, you might be, when I say work, I mean paid employment. You might be a mother working with children. You could be a carer, caring for somebody. But whatever it is, there's always something out there to try and distract you from what the intention was. So, for example, if you are at an office, it might be that you decided to have a walk at lunchtime, but you end up sitting in the canteen for whatever reason. So you're going to be all fuzzy for the second half of your afternoon at work, aren't you? You might tuck into the office biscuits because it's someone's birthday again, and they brought in some stuff, some cakes and some biscuits, etc. You might vow to have a healthy meal later, but because you work late, what do? You get a takeaway. So straight away, all of that good intention is going down the pan. Now, apparently, close to 14 million women in the UK have developed some pretty unhealthy eating habits over the years. And many of these are down to feeling stressed, out of control, in a rush constantly, always wanting to get things done. It's a vicious cycle, isn't it? Because the more you feel out of control, the more you'll tend to eat. And the more we feel in control of our time at work, the more positively we'll be able to face all the challenges that life brings us. So what I want to focus on here is how you can try and get your everyday eating habits in check. Because it's such an important part of your life, and if you don't get to manage it, it can really throw everything out. Have you found that? So here's tip number one. Don't get mad. Get focused. It's very sad, but it's true. 8 out of 10 British bosses say that when it comes to size, there seems to be a prejudice against people who are overweight. A professor of business communications at the University of Southampton, his name is Khalid Azid, and he surveyed 300 senior managers and directors of major companies. Weight, he found, was a major factor. And then there's that vicious cycle again. If you're feeling undervalued or discriminated against, it can lead to increasingly low self-esteem. Your body language starts to send out all these horrible wrong signals. Hunched shoulders, you're going to be silent at the meeting because you just don't want to talk to anybody. Don't feel that your opinion is valued. You're going to melt into the background, and then you're going to get overlooked for promotions and pay rises. And it can happen to anybody at any time, regardless of their size. And it just seems that women who are overweight, it seem to be suffering a little bit more because they're eating constantly. And it might not be food that's the issue, but if it is food that's an issue, Dr. Elizabeth Keelan from the London Business School, she says that women often don't ask for a promotion. They wait to be noticed. If a woman speaks out and says, I want to be promoted, she's seen as aggressive. But if she doesn't speak up, then she's less likely to be promoted. All right, so I've got a couple of ways for you to try and get yourself out there. I know that I'm talking about women, but I think it applies to guys as well. You know, guys can have eating disorders or eating issues as well as women, but it's more prolific within the female gender, mainly because the media hypes it up and the media talk about it more. Doesn't mean there aren't any men out there who don't have eating issues. So this can apply to you as well, guys. Don't feel excluded. How are you going to assert yourself? Say you want that promotion. Say you want to feel better about yourself. First of all, you've got to know what you want. So before you start any conversation based on promotions or any kind of outcome that you're expecting, know what it is that you want to get from that meeting. Don't leave that meeting until you've actually got an answer based on the results you've expected. Also, you've got to learn to say no if you're thinking about asserting yourself and trying to make yourself feel better about who you are. I'm suggesting all of these asserting tips because if you're feeling undervalued and low self-esteem, there's a tendency that you might go for that biscuit at tea time, or you might have a bag of chips on the way home because it's going to comfort you, isn't it? So if we can get to the root of maybe one of the issues that is causing that, then we've got a little tick box ticked. So learn to say no. It's not easy, but always giving in and saying yes is not good practice. Practice saying no in front of the mirror. Try it and say it with conviction. And it's not about being aggressive, really, is it? It's about just being assertive and knowing that no means no. I don't want it. I'm not interested. No, thank you. Done. Move on. Conversation finished. Confronting your fears is another tip I would suggest. Most of us worry that if we say no to unreasonable requests, we're going to lose job, friends, respect. I don't think you will. I think being a pushover is how you will lose friends, jobs, or respect. So when you are saying no, obviously you've got to say no for the right reasons, not just because you're saying no. But if you're afraid of what people are going to think of you, I don't think you need to be. If you know what you want, people will soon learn to respect that. Also, we need to differentiate between this assertive and aggressive. So don't shout. Stay calm, stick to the point. Try to remember that being assertive is only standing up for your rights and knowing what you want. It's not about trying to berate somebody or battle somebody down. Yeah, there's no competition. It's just about saying, this is what I would like, and I stick by it. So if you're in the office and you're thinking about the foods that you eat and realizing that actually you could do with making a change for the new year, you want to try and incorporate some simple habits into your working day, because that could help you lose the pounds, whether you're male or female. And obviously this only applies to you if it's something you want to take on. Small changes, big differences. Practice eating that is mindful, eating that you think about. That really means preparing and planning. Make extra dinner the day before. Take the leftovers for lunch to work or your place of work, wherever that is, the next day. It's a lot cheaper, isn't it? Here in the UK, what, a sandwich is what, £3? If you add all that up, I would say that's about £700 a year that you're going to save. Now, that could be your well-deserved holiday. It could be contributing towards a car because your one has broken down. It could be anything that you want it to be. But when you look at it long-term, that is a lot of money, £700 for a sandwich a day, when you've got food at home and you couldn't be bothered to prepare anything. Try not to eat at your desk if you can. Try and see if you can get out. Maybe go to the park or find a different place to eat within your work environment and then go for a walk. If, you know, maybe it's raining, you can't go for a walk, but just don't eat at your desk. Find somewhere else. See if you can build some routines into your day to counteract the effects of your sedentary job. Of course, this is if you do a sedentary job. Some people do stuff that's quite active, therefore they don't have to worry so much about putting the weight on. But if you do, you're a bus driver, or you sit at a desk working figures all day, try to make sure you sit upright at your desk or at your car or whatever it is. It's going to help your posture. It's going to help blood flow more efficiently. And if you want to do anything like a little workout whilst you're sitting and doing work, you know, two things at once, hey-ho, place your feet flat on the floor, clench the muscles of your butt cheek, count to five, relax. Repeat it about 10 times. You could also get that belly talking to you. Not because you're hungry, no. Get it drawing in towards the spine, squeezing those abdominal muscles really tight. Imagine someone's behind you pulling a corset string and they're drawing that belly button in. Really squeeze it. Notice how your belly comes away from the band of your trousers, your skirt, whatever you've got on. And try and do that about 10 times, just like you did with your butt. Draw it in, release it. Draw it in, release it. And as those muscles of your tummy get stronger, they'll be able to stay in for longer. So maybe you might start holding that drawing in action for about 5 counts and then let it release. But get that buttock and that tummy working and get those shoulders back and down and sit up tall and sit like you mean business, not like you're in bed reading a book. Now, if you're on the phone for most of the day, ever thought about getting a headset? It means that you can walk and talk. And if you get a pedometer, ha ha ha, what's a pedometer? It measures how many footsteps you do. 10,000 is the appropriate amount per day to be able to maintain your weight. Anything more and you want to start losing weight, as long as you're watching what you put into your body, wear a pedometer for a day. See how much distance you cover. If you've got your headset on and you've got the facility to be able to move around, you're burning calories straight away. And this is going to go a long way to helping you rack up those 10,000 steps that experts suggest we should cover daily to be able to stay fit, stay healthy, stay wise. If you can, use the stairs. Avoid the lift. And also, remember that you don't have a ball and chain attached to you and your desk. The umbilical cord was cut from you as a child, so it's not connected to your desk, and you can move from it. Sometimes it's quicker to go and speak to a colleague. Ooh, bit of exercise. Yeah, ooh, opportunity to walk, rather than email. It's going to get you up and moving. So try that. Small changes, big difference. So that's it for today. We're done. Wow, 2 hours gone just like that. For me, it's always a pleasure, and I'm hoping that you're getting something from the information that I'm giving you. What did we talk about today? Recapping. We talked about B vitamins, antioxidants, proteins, amino acids, memory boosters, brain increasing vitamins and minerals. We talked about recipes that you could throw into your daily diet to be able to incorporate all of those things. And I've just shared with you how, if you make a few changes throughout your daily activity, most of us spend a lot of time at a place we call work. Very individual to each of us. Only you know where your place of work is. But whilst we're there, if it's 8 hours or more, we need to be mindful about it. Checking that we're doing stuff to support this great mechanism that allows us to be at this place of work. If we don't look after the brain and boost it, we cannot expect it to retain information that we need at a later date, the recall. If we don't put good food into our bodies, we cannot expect it to get us up in the morning and take us to this place of work. We can't expect our energy levels to sustain us for the day if we're not eating well. And if we're not exercising, how on earth can you expect to hold your body, hold yourself against gravity, if you're not even strengthening your joints and your muscles, your ligaments, your tendons? And if you're carrying excess fat, everything is going to take twice as long. Because not only are you carrying your heart, your liver, your intestines, your legs, your arms, but you're carrying the excess fat as well. So, New Year. Okay, maybe you've made the resolution already. But try and make the change, whatever it is for you, and stick with it. And make it very incremental. Monthly, 3 monthly, 6 monthly, 9 monthly, 1 year, done, you've achieved. Tick, list, ticked. Nothing you can't achieve, okay? I'm Nico from the Nico Health and Fitness Show here at playvibes.com. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I will see you next week.
See, my days are cold without you, but I'm hurting while I'm with you. And though my heart can't take no more, I keep on running back to you. See, my days are cold without you. Always tell me that you need me, and I'm weak cause I believe you, and I'm mad because I love you. So I stop and think that maybe
could learn to appreciate me, then it all remains the same. That you ain't never gonna change, never gonna change, never gonna change.
My days are cold, baby.
Hold me back.